Today is historically known as Low Sunday. Many times that designation comes from Low Attendance Sunday because we're on the other side of the resurrection and especially Easter Sunday. I too snuck off, or as Fred likes to say, I snooked. And I went to Donnie D's for a bagel sandwich because I was starving between the two services. And I ran into a few parishioners. And I was like, oh, you caught me getting a sandwich. And they're like, no, you caught us because we're getting ready to go hiking. They'll remain, they're not here anyway. So, but in seminary, this is always known as Seminarian Sunday because guess why? The seminarian gets to preach on this Sunday, but you all have me, so I'm here. But Low Sunday actually has a theological grounding in it too, which in the first prayer book, it was called the Low Mass of Easter, was the second communion on Easter Day. So we'd always have the beginning communion where you would read most likely John's account, occasionally Luke's account that we heard last Sunday. And then that evening before you went to bed, your local parish would typically have one more communion service called the Low Mass, contrary to the morning's High Mass. And so, but that was dropped in 1552. But we still read the passage. Thomas, the Doubting Thomas passage that's all too familiar for this Sunday. It's in all 3 years of our lectionary, we always hear about Thomas. And when we hear about Thomas, it brings up those words that we heard from the prophet Isaiah last week when he prophesied that by his bruises we will be healed. By his bruises we will be healed. In other words, the death on the cross, the very wounds that Thomas demands to see are the same places of restoration and reconciliation for you and for me. In other words, we're healed through the cross, through this ministry of reconciliation that we prayed about in our collect. And that's what we celebrate with the resurrection, that Jesus' blood proved to us once and for all that God's heart is firmly fixed on you and me, that we're loved no matter what. That deep longing that we all have to be loved and accepted by our Creator has been proven through Jesus' death and resurrection. It's been proven for Thomas and for you and for me. But it's not only true of Jesus' wounds that they heal us, but it's true of our own wounds can heal us. So in other words, the reconciliation through the wounds of Christ can actually affect us right in the here and now. In the here and now. We know that through Jesus' resurrection that we too will be resurrected when we die. And that we will live in that glorious heavenly banquet. That is our Christian truth. But that same truth has an impact on our life today. It's not void of where we sit in our pews or where we live in our daily existence. It has agency or efficacy. So advance warning that this sermon actually has a little bit of a to-do angle to it. Now, for those that have heard me talk about this, I don't like to-dos and I don't like getting them. I don't like lists. I don't like somebody to tell me what to do either. So I'm right there with you. But this sermon is going to have just a little bit of a to-do. Okay, just a little bit of one. Not much. Don't think I'm falling off the rocker, or maybe know that I've fallen off the rocker. So let's go with like a to-do idea and what's so prevalent. I've got four friends from college that are all life coaches. Who's got a life coach? Don't raise your hands. But life coaches are everywhere now. If you haven't heard of them, just Google life coaches, and your neighbor's probably one. I mean, they are designed to coach you through life, to make you, and they're not, I say it flippantly, they many things they do are very wonderful, and they can help you struggle professionally and interpersonally. It's got a little therapy and a little bit of sort of just friendship. It's like a spiritual director is a life coach in the Christian world. And so I had a life coach at Georgetown when I did this executive program, and it was great because he'd make you feel good about everything, and he'd draw you into your own voice and give you confidence. And ultimately, the whole goal of this is to craft your PAP, personal action plan. Right? Call any life coach and be like, how quickly can I get to my PAP? And they'll be like, I'm so glad you called. Anyway, so the PAP is the culmination of the life coach experience. So if we're thinking about how Jesus is going to work in our lives right now, what would be his PAP for us? Well, it'd be sell it all. It'd be give everything up. It'd be let go of anything you're thinking of. It would be tongue twisters. It would probably make us feel uncomfortable about ourselves because he would ask us poignant question. In other words, Jesus has a personal action plan to go and do stuff would fail miserably because his personal action plan was ultimately death, right? Was giving up the sacrifice, that word that Heatherland used for us so poignantly. So Jesus as a life coach gives us two things that the revelation of St. John shares with us today. When John writes, the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection proved that we are loved. We've already talked about that. And that we are free. So free to do what? Free to do anything we want? No. But we are free and that we're not burdened by wondering whether we're loved. Or trying to prove our self-worth to anyone. Meaning we've been freed from bondage of sin and death. And now, in that freedom, we can actually experience our own wounds. So back to this idea of our own wounds. What is our wounds? What is our wounds when we mean that? We're not meaning, and Jesus would never mean that we're to go out and create wounds, right? To martyr ourselves. Remember what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. Today's troubles are enough. Don't worry about tomorrow. So when we talk about wounds, we're talking about the places of hurt and deep sadness or rupture or brokenness that exist in all of our lives. All of them. The cousins that don't talk to each other. The broken heart over a boy or a girl that got away. A broken heart over a child graduating or going on to a next step. Or even dealing with a preteen 9-year-old girl. Not that that's a personal example. But it's awful. In other words, all of the wounds that we live with in our daily life, and they're everywhere. We were at dinner last night with some neighbors, and my neighbor's grandfather died about 3 weeks ago, and they had the service this past week. There's 7 grandchildren, and my neighbor was telling me that at the funeral, one of their aunts, who has a very fractious relationship with the family, decided in the middle of the funeral during her eulogy time to inform 2 of the 7 grandchildren that they were written out of the will over the last few weeks. And she said, I have to do this by state law. I guess there's a state law. I'm not making jokes. I mean, it's horrifying, right? It's horrifying that this would happen. But think about your own life. This is not them and we're us. This is us. The only thing normal about our lives is that none of us are normal, right? That we have an enormous amount of areas of pain and suffering. Maybe not to that degree, I certainly hope, right? Maybe not to that degree, I certainly hope. Maybe it's much more benign. But we all have those places where it just hurts. And Jesus is not removed from that. Remember, he too was a human in the flesh. And what happened when he was in the flesh? Well, his best friend denied him. His other buddy betrayed him. His followers ran away from him. People talked behind his back all the time that also called him Lord. Meaning he lived right where we live in a world that's full of strife and full of wounds. But here's where it gets really interesting in that if we think about being healed through a wound, What we're talking about is, in the same way that we're honest about Christianity comes through the cross, we're honest in our own lives about the areas that we have wounds. Meaning we just acknowledge it. Okay, so here's your giant to-do thing. Honesty. That's all we're talking about. We're just talking about being honest. Maybe being honest with a friend. Maybe with me in my office. Maybe with God on a long walk somewhere. Maybe with your spouse. Maybe with a long-lost friend. Maybe in a letter. It doesn't take a particular shape or size. But it's just being honest about those places that hurt. Those places where you feel rupture. Those places where you feel like that no one cares or loves you. And we can do this because it's cyclical, because we know that we're loved. Meaning our wounds don't bring about shame. They don't induce shame. They don't condemn us. Because Jesus took any shame that we might feel and any condemnation we might feel, and it was nailed to a tree and put to bed forever. It was buried in his death. And this is why we can then be free to talk about this. We can be free to even talk with a therapist. Thomas Cranmer has a great line. He was the author of the prayer book. And Cranmer's line about confession, you know, Catholics say you must do confession. His line about the confession was this, is that none must, some will, and all should. So if you wanted to know what I think about therapy, Brian Wood and I can talk about this later, I think that none must, some will, but all really should. Okay, everybody benefits from having that sort of cathartic moment where they narrate their wounds. This is the to-do item. I've given you a to-do item now. You can take it and run with it, but that's what it really is about. And we have a freedom to do this. This is why there's so much emphasis on Jesus' actual wounds, because we were healed through those wounds. But it gives us also a pathway towards being healed. I was a grateful preacher on Friday when I read the Wall Street Journal, because they had an illustration of this very phenomenon. It's a story about Danny Marcus. I don't know if anybody saw it. Danny was a legendary uncle in a large Jewish family, not even in business. It was just in the lifestyle section. And he died in the 1960s. In a tragic boating accident in his mid-40s. Two of his nephews, Larry and Neil, were best friends and first cousins. And they represented two different families that were all brought together with Danny. And when Danny died, these families permanently ruptured. They blamed each other for the death. One family went ahead and had a bar mitzvah that night. The other family left. They didn't talk to each other until 6 months ago, when through DNA and 23andMe, which, by the way, is the new illustration for the web browser. If you want to know where your secrets are, just go to Ancestry.com or 23andMe, and it's got it all right there. And so they found that they had a sister. They had a first cousin. There was another sister. It was Neil's sister. So these two first cousins, Neil had a sister. And this sister reached out to all of her siblings and her first cousins and said, I want to meet my family. And the grandfather was having a 90th birthday party 6 months ago. And she said, could we please all go? And these families had not gotten together since the mid-1960s, hadn't spoken a lick of words. And they all gathered in Florida at High's house. High is the grandfather. And on the first night there, it came up, Danny. No one had talked about Danny in all those years. And High spent the next 30 minutes explaining to the family about what happened to him on that boat when he drowned. High was on the boat. He was the last living member of the family that knew the actual story. The result of this just incredible gift of a hard gift, but a gift of transparency and honesty, is that Larry and Neil are quoted at the end of the story saying, I feel like I have my family back for the first time ever. And I feel the love that only a family can bring. And we now know the truth. and that truth has set us free to be with one another. And that's precisely what Jesus does for us through the cross, is that we can be honest with one another about exactly what we feel and who we are. And know that there's not any shame in that. There's not any condemnation in that. There's only acceptance, love, and grace from God our Father Almighty. Amen.